Today on Jay Sekio Live, the DNC's grand finale flop with Joe Biden's acceptance speech. We'll talk about the whole week on Jay Sekio Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Sekio Live. This is Jordan Sekio. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. So the DNC first of its kind virtual convention is over. And our kind of overall take after we kind of analyze. Yes, thank goodness.
I mean, I'm sure they're saying the same thing, by the way.
Yeah, I would imagine so, because our overall take from our analysts is it was just a total flop, a disaster, very tough to imagine that anybody who doesn't pay close attention to politics even tuned in. And if they did, they probably tuned in because they wanted to see President Obama talk again. So he kind of overshadowed it, or Michelle Obama. We already talked about how we thought that should have been night one, Obama night, and then get past that. No one's talking about Kamala Harris. And the only thing people really are saying about Joe Biden's speech is that he showed that he can read a teleprompter without making a huge gaffe. And I will tell you, as someone who's looking into a camera right now while I speak to you, if you notice, I'm looking into the camera. I'm not reading a bunch of words. And even if I was on a teleprompter, and we're not on radio, we don't do that, we're unscripted. But if I was, you would learn the training of how to do it the same way, which is to mean that my eyes are looking through the camera at all of you who are watching, so we're making contact with you. Joe Biden, so I pay attention to that because this is very much a visual thing, the convention, especially when it's virtual. And there's no one else to look at in the room. There's no way to turn your head. And he was so stuck to that teleprompter. And so he was kind of like this. If you're watching on Facebook, his eye was like this. And it's right where the teleprompter. And he stayed that way the entire time. And it was very like boom, 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 boom. So it was hard for me to take away much. And the attacks that he did make, I thought were kind of ridiculous. One on the economy. I mean, give me a break. Anybody would take the Trump economy, right, even right now, over the Obama economy. Two on foreign policy. Afghanistan and Iraq were not, we're now, you know, kind of ramping down. They were ramping up. We've dealt with ISIS. We've dealt with Baghdadi. They made the Iranian nuclear deal. They walked away from Israel. President Trump last week, right before the DNC convention, made the historic deal between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. None of that kind of stuff happened under the Obama administration. What happened to the Obama administration was North Korea kept their nuclear program on track, and Iran got a deal where they could keep their nuclear program moving. You know what President Trump has done? He's made sure that they have been so technologically sabotaged, I'm sure our country and others, that no one's even talking about Iran's nuclear program anymore. We also killed the deal with Iran. No more of this sending billions of dollars to an enemy. But so what's his big idea? That's why I tweeted last night. His big foreign policy change to reach out to the world is going to be to make a deal with the Ayatollah. Ask the UAE, ask Saudi Arabia, ask not just Israel, ask, you know, all those countries, Egypt. Do they want another American deal with Iran on anything to deal with nuclear weapons? Absolutely not. He makes up Russia like a big deal. Fact is, that story about the Russian troops was when they were in office. They didn't do anything about it, if it was even true. And most of the intelligence community is saying it wasn't enough information to even say it was true. That was happening under them. Fast and Furious happened under them. Benghazi was them. Don't forget all that. That's basically the only takeaway I got, other than please don't vote for President Trump. Just vote for anybody's better than him, and I'm better than him.
Well, while all this is going on, our team at the United Nations has filed five briefs with the court. It comes to our European Center for Law and Justice, of course, dealing with international human rights, defending the defenseless, protecting Israel. Your support of the ACLJ allows this broadcast to come to you every day, allows us to engage for parents around the country and issues around the world. ACLJ.org for the matching challenge. We're in the last 8 days, I guess. Last 8 days of the matching challenge.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Secchio Live. So last night is always the most important of any convention because it's the presidential candidate announcing, kind of introducing themselves as a presidential candidate to what is supposed to be the people who don't follow politics as closely. Not people like you who are listening to broadcasts like this, but to people who, you know, vote in presidential elections, maybe midterms. Maybe they voted for President Trump last time because they wanted a change. They like somebody different. And so he was trying to appeal to that group, independents, moderates. You notice his attacks were very kind of dull, kind of low. You kind of had to read between the lines. So he didn't want to upset Trump people too much. Of course, when they think they're subtle, they make fun of things like miracles. And when they did attack Trump,
that was an odd.
They attacked him on foreign policy, which I think, you know, he's the one. America wants Afghanistan over. America wants Iraq over. He's trying to get that done. You know, this whole idea with COVID that, you know, we can't have miracles. Well, let me tell you something. God gave us brains. So, of course, you use the brain to create technology and make good decisions, wearing masks, all this, that, social distancing, of course, and the treatments we've already created for COVID that have been good. But you still pray for miracles at any time. I mean, if someone's diagnosed with cancer, you get the cancer treatment. But you still keep praying for a miracle.
Well, I thought that what he did was, I thought that was, whoever wrote that line for him may have meant one thing, but it came off horrible. I'm going to play it for everybody, and then I'm going to talk to Andy about it. Let's take a listen.
Just look around. It's not this bad in Canada or Europe or Japan or almost anywhere else in the world. And the president keeps telling us the virus is going to disappear. He keeps waiting for a miracle. Well, I have news for him. No miracle is coming.
Let me be very clear on this.
Oh, he's Jesus.
Yeah, let me be very clear on this. If it was announced in 6 months that we have a vaccine that is 95% effective, you know what I would call that? A miracle. Why do I call it a miracle? Because God gave, as Jordan said, individuals the brains, capabilities, the reasoning ability, the scientific knowledge to put all of this together to figure out exactly what's happening. So, I've got news for Joe Biden. There are miracles. And the fact that we haven't had 2 million people die from this pandemic is also miraculous. You remember what Dr. Birx said at the beginning of the coronavirus first started, and they talked about we're going to push down that curve. It would be somewhere between, what they say, 150,000 and 250,000 deaths if we did everything right. And it's about on that track. Now, look, every life is precious, and I hate that one life is gone. And we all know people that have lost loved ones, and some of you have lost loved ones to COVID. So I am unbelievably sympathetic, but I am praying for a miracle. I have a friend of mine right now whose father-in-law is on a ventilator, and I'm praying for a miracle, okay? So, I mean, but you know what that is? That is the hubris, the arrogance of the left. It's kind of like, we are God. I mean, that's almost the way, Andy, it comes across.
Well, it does, Jay, because, you know, we believe that miracles do happen and that you pray for miracles. You pray to God. You pray to the Mother of God. You pray to the saints that a miracle will occur. And let me tell you, the prayers have shown the miracles that have occurred. As Dr. Burke said, and you pointed out, the curve has been flattened out, and we only have, as you said, 170,000 deaths. That's too many. I understand that. But you can't put that at the door of Donald Trump. This was the coronavirus that was invented, that was discovered, or rather perpetrated, by the Chinese and worked upon us, and we've had to deal with it. And the president has done everything that he humanly can possibly do with the grace of God to contain this. And I think he's done a fantastic job. You can't compare us with Japan and Canada and these other countries. We're a country of 330 million people. When you take the number of deaths that have occurred attributable to the coronavirus to the population of this nation, it's very small compared to what it could have been had the president not taken the action that he did when he did. So these platitudes and these denials of the intervention of God in human life are something that is characteristic of the Democrats, and Joe Biden is carrying that line forward.
Let me ask Stan quickly here, not quickly, Stan, and that is a Washington reaction. I mean, I know it's a bit muted because things are so different up there right now, but give me your sense.
Well, first of all, just generically, I think there's an acknowledgement in this town that it was an already difficult situation with the virtual convention. But when you layer a candidate on like this that has difficulty with these moments, Jay, I mean, let's just be candid about it. He does. You were probably going to get what you got last night. But if I could, Jay, I just wanted to make a comment on this miracle bite because I had the same reaction. I've actually written about this a fair amount. I firmly believe in a God of miracles, but usually he performs those miracles, Jay, through the pinnacle of his creation, us. And he does that because he desires relationship with us. So the idea that those two things are disconnected is just not founded in reality and in the nature of the God, certainly, that I believe in. But in Washington, D.C., Jay, I got to tell you, I think some of the reaction from last night was somewhat baked in because I think they knew that Joe Biden was not a guy that could take a virtual convention and turn it into an electric moment. Now, next week, can the Republicans? I'm not sure, but if you were going to bet on Donald Trump or Joe Biden to do it, I think we all know who you'd bet on.
Look at the web videos that the RNC and the Trump campaign were putting out. It was better than any of the videos that they were kind of showing that they had so much time and money to produce. They knew this was going to be virtual. They're supposed to be the Hollywood crowd. They should be outdoing us on this. Problem is, we've got somebody who was on TV in Hollywood who happened to be present, like in the Reagan days. President Trump, he gets TV. And our people, we also get sets. We also get set design. Look at the difference between Fox News and MSNBC sometimes. I mean, so I think that even though Hollywood obviously did not come out and help them build those sets, I mean, that I could not believe that the second night they used that same, like he was at a real convention with no one there, with the black light after, you know, these interesting videos.
Because
the videos are kind of interesting. Yeah, really bad for her. And then, of course, the non-moving Joe Biden, the eyes stuck over here, glued to the teleprompter, to me shows his staff still doesn't trust him to give a speech and must be scared to death of the upcoming debates, he's doing everything possible not to have happen.
Yeah, a little bit later in the broadcast, we're going to get into the foreign policy statements that were made, and then we're going to remind everybody of the foreign policy statements that Joe Biden actually engaged. But one of the things I thought was really, really interesting here was the lack of substance. I did not hear a substance. I heard what they don't like about Donald Trump. I thought the humor, by the way, last night, and I happen to like Julie Louise Dreyfus. I think she's a great actress, but I thought, and she's a good comedian, like funny comedian. She was terrible. I mean, whoever wrote her lines were horrible. It came across crass. It came
not
across,
crass in her funny way.
No, not like sharp crass. It was just kind of ridiculous, really. And
goofy for
it was goofy. And then you say these people are going to run the United States. And then the goofiest moment for me, Andy, I like this one a lot. Cory Booker serving as the host for all of the candidates that ran for the nomination that failed. And he gave like this rousing interviews. It was awful. Did anybody test this before they did it? Andy, go ahead.
Jay, all I heard was platitudes. You know what I mean by platitudes? Broad general statements, love, freedom, hope, the next life, unity, going forward together. I didn't hear any concrete plans because there aren't any. They have nothing to fight against. So what they do is they resort to the utilization of platitudes, broad general expressions of hope and joy and unity, and we're going to be together. Excuse me?
Yeah, I mean, we were going to play some of this back and forth. This is between Andrew Yang and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I want you to kind of hear this is what we're talking about here, because some of you, I got a tweet from somebody who said, when I said that speech was so dull by Obama, that because that's the only thing they really want to talk about, because it was the only decent speech, and he still really didn't say anything. He was just meaner than usual. But Joe Biden, the only takeaway we can all really remember, other than the foreign policy stuff, which is something we follow closely, is that he wants to make, at a federal level, a mass mandate the moment he becomes president for 3 months. At a federal level, even outside. I mean,
there's no evidence that that is helpful.
That means, like, if you're going outside, like, to take a walk, or which is dangerous, actually, to be wearing a mask in heat or in cold weather. If your kids are going to a playground, which we know that kids right now, it's not affected by. And also, the federal role. A federal mask mandate? This is not what the 10th Amendment certainly intended. So I think people heard that and said, okay, I really don't like that. Hard pass on that one. But listen to this kind of exchange. This is Andrew Yang, good talker, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus, of course, a professional actress and comedian on one of the biggest shows of all time. Take a listen.
And now I'd like to turn it over to a great Democrat who will be with us throughout the evening. Between the two of us, we have 11 Emmys. How's that for math? One of my favorite actresses, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Hey, Julia.
Hi, Andrew. I'm so glad to see you. So what did you think about Kamala Harris's speech last night?
It was tremendous. I was so happy for her.
I know, me too. She's fabulous. I cannot wait to see her debate our current vice president, Mika Pence. Is it Pence?
It's pronounced Ponce, I believe.
Oh, okay. Some kind of weird
Andrew
form.
Andrew Yang knows, and so does the actress, knows the name of the sitting vice president of the United States, Mike Pence. So if they thought that was funny, shame on them.
I mean, during the actual convention, it's one thing if that was like a late night show. One thing. I'm not going to criticize comedians on that. But come on. We'll take your calls.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So we're taking your calls on this. It's two questions I have for really the audience, because I think you're an audience who is paying attention and you're more up to date on politics and policy and what's going on. So one, kind of your whole takeaway from this whole 4-day fiasco, as I would call it, or snooze fest, maybe better. I mean, it was painful. I'll be honest. And I watch a lot of cable news. I watch a lot of news to prep for this show, and we try to make our broadcast as interesting as possible. We're unscripted. The only time I'm ever reading is if I'm reading somebody's quote. The only time we go right from the top for a full hour, Monday through Friday, and we're doing it with cameras in the room and lighting and all of that, and a time clock. The fact is that it would be if you were
which
not
we hit about 90% of the time.
Yeah, but if you were not really into politics, we don't get floating clocks like some of the other shows. Yeah, we have heart. If you're not really into politics and you just watch, do you think of this? I'm asking all of you out there. Call us at 1-800-684-3110. Do you think anything that was said changed a single mind, other than the fact that Joe Biden said he would do a federal mask mandate, which I don't think he has the power to do, the moment he was president, for your kids, to wear a mask outside the playground, or when you take a run or a walk outside the door of your house? Take trash out.
Aren't we going to want to? First of all, how would you say that you're going to do a federal mask mandate in August of something that you're going to impose in the end of January when you're president, when you don't know where the status of the virus will be, and you don't know what the impact of wearing masks will have outside on people's overall health too? I mean, I wear a mask. You know that. I'm very cautious.
Most places won't let you.
But I don't wear a mask when I'm playing golf. When I walk into the clubhouse, I do.
Sure.
So I'm smart about it.
That clubhouse has a policy. That's their policy. It's not really your decision.
And some governors can mandate, and certainly mayors can mandate. But, of course, they don't respect. There's no such thing as respecting separation of powers or federalism when you're Joe Biden.
And but I'm a little nervous.
I want to go back to this point that I don't understand. Because listening to it and then, CNN, it was the greatest speech he's ever given. And I'm saying to myself, then, what is the policy takeaway here? I'm going to be nicer than Donald Trump. That's the message. Well, I'm going to be nicer than Donald Trump.
And it might have been the best speech he's given this year, but that's a pretty low bar, Jay. I mean, I think maybe that's what they're clinging to. And I keep going back to the two things that you mentioned. Number one, on foreign policy, I think the reason that foreign policy was lacking, because there's really not anything he can address there. But the other glaring admission that I think, Jay, I really think it was incumbent on them to at least bring up the violence in the streets and give their view on what they would do to quell it. I mean, look, there can be a disagreement of how to address it, but there's no disagreement that there is violence in the streets in some cities, most of them Democrat run, by the way. And what is their solution to address it? Without a plan for that, Jay, I don't think they're going to win votes in those places.
It's breaking news of this morning. Than there were about 100 Democrats that were putting pressure on Nancy Pelosi. And I think, we got that petition up too, to say, hey, if you want we need to go vote on the COVID second round of relief on Saturday when we get back. You've rushed us back to Washington for the Postal Service. The postal general is testifying now, and he's saying, one, he's not making any changes before the election to anything, but it does need to be reformed after that. We all know that, so that it's not such a loss to the American taxpayer. But she refused. She said no to her own Democrats, and then immediately after, we have President Trump saying, if they're not going to do it, I'll do PPP. There's a couple ways he can do it through executive action. He can do the PPP extension through executive action. I mean, is that what Joe Biden really wants going into the election? You would think Joe Biden would call Nancy Pelosi and say,
get it done.
For America.
Right, get it done.
Or else it's going to be President Trump getting all the credit. And I think at this point, really, he does deserve all the credit, because now I think she might have to go back and do it, because he does have – there's a couple of executive order provisions statutes Congress has delegated to the president – that would allow him to do it, so they wouldn't be able to really challenge it, and he could be the one giving PPP out. That would be a great look for Nancy Pelosi. I just don't get it. I think she could have gotten her $25 billion, Thad, for the Postal Service to handle the excess mail and absentee ballots.
President Trump said he was willing to give her that if she came to the table on the issues that he needed. This is such a telling moment, Jordan, and quite frankly, we predicted it last week on the broadcast. You think about those 100 Democrats in the House of Representatives. Why would they go out on a political limb to ask this of the Speaker? Jordan, it's because the people in their districts need that unemployment insurance extension far more than they need a bailout of the Postal Service. Now, the Postmaster General, testifying in the Senate today, said exactly that he's not going to make changes during this season. He said, but Jordan, I'm also not going to sit by and see another $9 billion of losses go on to our ledger without fulfilling my duty to the American people to try to bring it solvent. So I will try to reform it after the year. But the political point, Jordan, and I really do think people need to think about this. If Nancy Pelosi is going to throw $25 billion at the Postal Service and stand in the way of unemployment insurance extensions for people all across the country, you know what the impact is going to happen in the first week of November. Jordan, it's going to be in those districts of those 100 Democrats who just asked for that extension. And Nancy Pelosi said no. So nobody's looking at the House of Representatives, Jordan, but this is the kind of political calculus that would actually put the House in place. She doesn't come to the table. Mark my words, some of those districts are going to be lost to her.
You know, here's what's interesting to me, and that is, I'm going back to this, and we're going to get into the foreign policy issues in a moment. Andy, I took as the kind of the overall takeaway of Joe Biden's mess. I mean, it's a compelling personal story. No one will doubt that. I mean, he had the tragedy with his wife and daughter, and then he lost his son, Beau. And I mean, a tragedy. And people like Joe Biden. I mean, there are people, you know, we talk to most people. People like Joe Biden as a person, his personality. But what I thought was unbelievably lacking yesterday from the now Democratic nominee to be president was a policy statement that wasn't just a platitude or, as I said, I'm nicer than Donald Trump.
You're not going to get that from Joe Biden because he's incapable of having that vision. Let's face it, he's a Washington politician who's been around for 40 years, hanging around, cannot say one thing that he's achieved while he was in the United States Senate, but attacks on the judicial nominees of Republicans when he was on the Judiciary Committee, who's been sort of just on the fringes of power. That's the way that to really say this, the fringes of power under Obama as vice president, and he's got nothing to say. He's got nothing to say. He has a compelling personal story, I agree. Poor Joey having to walk to school. Poor Joey having had his teacher mimic him or ridicule him. Well, we've all had that, and we've all overcome that. But if you have no vision for America, you have no plan, you have your we're back to the swamp. We're back to the Obama-Biden days. I don't want that. People don't want that. He gave a speech, like Jordan has said, as if he were in a trance.
Folks,
and that is not what the people want.
Folks, we come back second half hour. We're going to get more into this. We want to take more of your calls, your comments, your takeaways. What do you think the RNC needs to do as well? What does President Trump need to do? Mike Pence and others. They saw what didn't work. What should they do to make it more compelling to those voters so that people watch who usually don't follow politics? And let me encourage you, folks, we are taking legal action across the country. We've got a new blog up. It shows you all the positives we've already accomplished for those families we're representing, the students, and we haven't had to go to court yet. Now, there's some that we're looking like we may have to be going to court on, but we're able to do all of that work, folks, all the FOIA work, all the policy work, all the legal work, because of your support for the ACLJ. We're able to bring you this broadcast every day because of your support for the ACLJ. It's a matching challenge month of August. Whatever you donate is doubled. It's a great time to donate. It's tax deductible. Donate now at aclj.org. Be part of our matching challenge, aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Fight for the right to live in freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
It's about Joe Biden saying there's no miracles. He's Jesus. And by the way, folks, you know, we're, you know, for our Christian audience, religious audience, atheist audience, you know, whatever, for those of us who are religious, we know that we believe that God gave us a brain to
create,
that is a huge miracle, to create the cures, to figure out the vaccines.
When Jonas Salk came up with the, I'm going to just say this, the vaccine for polio, I am sure if we look back in history, people are going to say, what a miracle that was. That he had the brains and the analysis in the 1950s to stop a plague that was having my contemporaries. We were at the, Pam and I were at the kind of tail end of that for our age, would wake up one morning and not be able to walk or move their legs. And someone came up with, Jonas Salk came up with the Salk vaccine. Now, do I think that's a miracle? Yes. But I don't want to spend, we've already covered that in the first half hour, but I found that particularly offensive last night.
I also think it was offensive when she made the joke about how much Joe Biden goes to church and then tried to talk about the rioting when the rioters were burning down the Episcopal Church in D.C. Take a listen, because this is another abuse. Yeah, we've got the soundbite where she's attacking. She says Joe Biden goes to church so much, you know, and like that was kind of this. I feel like, again, another Democrat attack. We're deplorables. We cling to our guns. We cling to our Bibles. And yet Joe Biden goes to church so much, hopefully he can get through the tear gas. That was one incident because they were protecting the church because rioters were burning down a historic church. The church was closed because of COVID.
I want to get into...
But they were making fun again of people going to church.
All right. So we've covered that. The kind of that. We covered the lack of substance in the beginning of this.
Yeah, that's not substantive.
I want to get into the substance, and I'm going to start it with the soundbite. We'll hear from Colonel Wes Smith coming up in the next segment, and of course Andy and Thane are with us now. But I want to play this. This is number 63, Joe Biden.
I'll be a president who will stand with our allies and friends and make it clear to our adversaries the days of cozying up to dictators is over.
Really? Now, Jordan's going to go through a litany, but I'm going to just tell you something, okay? What history are they rewriting? The Iranian history?
Well, that's why I tweeted it. You can go see my tweet. I'll read it. So I am reading right now for our radio audience. I'm not just a freewheeling like Joe Biden. I'm not. I'm on my teleprompter now. But it's a tweet I wrote off the cuff, by the way, at about 11 o'clock at night.
Or later.
Whenever that would happen, whenever he said that. The moment he said it, I wrote it, though, because it hit me. He said, I said, you will stand up to dictators, Joe Biden? I assume it will be another nuclear deal with the Ayatollah putting Iran back on the path to a nuclear weapon that President Trump has halted to the benefit of the Middle East and America. It's not just Israel and America, the Middle East, the world, and America. So what's his idea? I mean, they cozy right up to dictators, the worst of the worst.
And abandon our friends.
Abandoned Israel, walked out of the UN Security Council so that Israel would be condemned.
Yes.
Always were criticizing Israel, never took the side of Israel. Remember, they welcomed in the Muslim Brotherhood to Egypt and then criticized the more secular government that the people wanted. You think about Benghazi? Think about Benghazi.
Well, let's go back to the Israel thing for a moment because I know that's important to our...
What about Soleimani being killed by... What about the fact that we got rid of Baghdadi? How is Joe Biden making comments like that? It's because, you know what?
Well, they're uncontested. That's why. They're not in a debate. So in a debate, you'll be able to address it. But I want to go to Thane really quickly before we go to the break. We were very concerned, and we worked aggressively to not have the United States abandon Israel. But they did, right at the end of the administration. Even though during the transition, the president's team was saying, don't do that. The incoming president was requesting it not be done. Go ahead, Thane.
That's what made it doubly bad, Jay. It happened at the end of December 2016, after Donald Trump had been elected, but before he could come to office. So, Jay, not only was it a terrible decision walking away from our strongest ally in the region, Jay, they walked away when the fallout would have to be handled by the next person. They didn't do it a year before when they'd have to deal with the fallout. They did it, and then they walked out the door, and they dumped the problem on the next president.
I'm holding in my hand five, and our television audiences and Facebook Periscope can see this, five reports that we've given to the UN, one in dealing with Christian violence in Nigeria and others. Your support of the ACLJ allows us broadcast to stay on the air, but allows us to then go to the United Nations, representing Christians in countries far away, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. So we're getting more to like some of the policy or lack of policy in Joe Biden's speech, because the only big policy mandate I took away was that he's going to force us all to wear masks outside if he becomes president starting in January for 3 months, even if we, you know, COVID by miracle or science is no longer a problem. I guess he can still predict that it will be because he's God. And even though they've said that you can be outside without a mask, socially distanced, fine. I don't think kids at the playground need a mask. I think it should be decision by decision at the local level, not the federal level. People don't like that. People don't even like it at the state level, but they've come around to it. So at the federal level, that's a hard pass. And it's a stupid prediction, too, because it's like so far out.
Yeah.
But then he did get into sub. He just left out a lot of.
Well, let me tell you what he left out.
For a guy who was 8 years as VP, didn't list a lot of accomplishments.
Let me tell you what he left out. And this is, according to our review of the transcript and watching it last night, here's what was left out. Iran, nuclear, Middle East, ordeal. Not in what we see in the transcript. And they were the authors of the Iran nuclear deal, which has been a complete disaster. And a lot of the media afterwards were saying, oh, well, how great it was. It was so great, Joe Biden doesn't even want to mention it. And that's because of the havoc it's done into the region. I'm going to go to Andy first, and then to Wes Smith. And then I got a follow up for Tham. But let me go to Andy first. No glaring omission by Joe
Definitely,
Biden.
Definitely, Jay. Well, when you omit material facts, you do so in order to mislead and to deceive. You didn't talk about Portland. You didn't talk about Chicago. You didn't talk about New York, about Democratic-controlled cities. You didn't talk about the disasters that are going on in the major democratically controlled areas. I didn't hear de Blasio at the convention. I mean, he didn't talk about one of the used to be the greatest city in the world under Rudy Giuliani, which is now a disaster and a wasteland. So omissions are very important in the Biden speech. There's a lot of platitudes, a lot of broad generalities and sayings, but there's omissions of substantial material facts, which makes it a misleading speech about the status of America today, Jay.
I want to go to Colonel Wes Smith to give us an analysis. You watched it last night, and the lack of foreign policy specifics, but then the glaring omissions. He did say he will not cozy up to dictators while he was cozying up to the Ayatollahs.
Yeah. I mean, Obama, Biden, they were professionals at cozying up to dictators, and you mentioned part of that. His speech has a lot of selective memory, and a lot of rank hypocrisy. You know, I thought it was rich that he talked about he was standing against the privileged few at the top, Jay. He is politically the longest surviving inhabitant of the swamp. He is part of that privileged few. He has a fundamentally different view of the world, and it matches Obama's, and we lived through 8 years of that. He has a fundamentally different view of the role of government. It's more government. It is more taxes. It's more spending. It's more government control. Remember what Ronald Reagan said. You know, government is not the solution to the problem. Government is the problem. That is still largely true. And as far as foreign policy goes, you know, it was a wreck, an absolute wreck under Obama.
Wes, you say it's a wreck. Let's be specific. Why? Because I think so, too, by the way. I completely agree.
Yeah. Well, Obama, Biden, they were weak on foreign policy. They not only cozied up on the Iran deal, they cozied up to Vladimir Putin. Remember that famous off-mic comment about after his election, he'd have more flexibility. Yep. And that was regarding missile defense, Jay.
We have that, Will. We're going to get that bite. I think we need to remind people.
Yeah. He wants to bring it back. And of course, as you know, Jay, I was serving in the military during the first, 5 years of the Obama Biden administration. Morale in the military was the lowest I ever saw it in my 26 years in uniform. And budget cuts, you know, shortage of troops, shortage of weapons, and simple things. And one of the things that President Trump has done, he has rebuilt our military.
Yeah, Joe Biden didn't talk, Wes, about all the cuts they made to our military, which led to continued losses in Iraq and Afghanistan of American troops. They're so anti-war, yet they weren't pulling us out. And while he could have, you know, talked more about the Osama bin Laden, remember the reason why Joe Biden couldn't talk about that, Dad, was because he was against the raid. Joe Biden was opposed to President Obama's decision to send in the SEALs to kill Osama bin Laden. And that's known. That's not a conspiracy. It's known. It's been written about in mainstream media. But also remember, Wes, right at the end of your service, what was happening in the Islamic world. It wasn't just Iraq and Afghanistan. I'm holding in my hand the number one New York Times bestseller by Jay Sekulow. I was a co-author on it. But it was The Rise of ISIS. This came out in 2014. Mm-hmm. You know, that happened under their watch, Wes.
Absolutely
and,
it did.
And President Trump killed al-Baghdadi, who was tough to find, like bin Laden. Killed him a lot quicker than bin Laden was killed. And they allowed ISIS to continue to rise while praising the Muslim Brotherhood takeover of Egypt and turning their back on Israel.
Absolutely. And part of the reason, as Jay mentions in the book, and we all lived through it, that ISIS rose up the way it did is because of Obama Biden's feckless military policy, pulling prematurely out of Iraq, even though his generals were telling him not to do that. It left a vacuum there, and ISIS stepped into that vacuum. You know, hundreds of thousands of people died. It took us years to pull back from that brink that Obama Biden led us to. Cozying up to dictators, I thought about China. President Trump has stood up to Xi and China. He has done more to deal with their dishonesty, their persecution of Christians, their theft of intellectual property, their how they manipulate currency. Obama Biden never did any of that. Again, I think they were professionals at cozying up to dictators and forsaking our friends.
Yeah, I mean, listen, speaker after speaker criticized President Trump for this, including Joe Biden. Of course, they did the Iranian nuclear deal. That's cozying up to an Ayatollah dictator. They did nothing about the rise of ISIS. They did nothing about the Muslim Brotherhood takeover of Egypt or ISIS takeover of Libya. And then they did some weird bombing there, which led to Benghazi, which led to more Americans getting killed. But what they also did, Wes, was they were cozying up to dictators, and they got caught. He didn't want to bring he doesn't want to talk too much about Russia, because, one, the Senate Intel Committee found that the whole DNC was and their FBI was being misled by Russia, so it had been infiltrated. But, two, President Obama was caught on audio telling the Russian president at the time, because Putin was taking his prime minister time to come back as president, that, hey, once I get reelected, things are going to be a lot better. Isn't that what Mike Flynn got charged with a crime for saying? I mean, listen, this is President Obama. He didn't want to bring this up either. When he talks to Russia, this is all I would talk about is this statement. Listen.
It's my last election. Yeah. After my election, I have more flexibility.
Yeah. I understand. I transmit this information to Vladimir and I stand with him.
So So I want people to understand this because I spent, and Jordan did too, and so did Andy, 3 weeks in the floor of the well of the United States Senate over a phone call, rather.
Did 35 people listen to?
Yeah. And here you had the sitting president of the United States.
Hide the seats.
Tell the president of Russia that, don't worry, after the election, I'll have a lot more flexibility.
Is that a Russian interfering with elections?
Russian
that-
interference. It's like cohorting with your enemy.
Yeah.
In other words, I can't say these kind of things. I'd like to get done for you now. I'll do it later. Nobody brought up an impeachment, articles of impeachment there.
No.
And there were probably grounds to. And again, the hypocrisy, Andy, here is breathtaking in scope.
Well, it is, Jay. And I want to mention the incident of Turkey. Obama was taken on an 8-year ride by strongman dictator Recep Tayyip Erdogan, okay? The Turks took Obama and the United States on a ride. One of our pastors from North Carolina was imprisoned in Turkey for what? 2 years? And President Trump, and talk about ability and leadership in foreign policy, basically picked up the phone and said to Erdogan, if you want the lira to crash, you will keep that man in prison. And the next day, a jet from the Wiesbaden Air Force Base in Germany was there on our Air Force plane to pick him up and to bring him to freedom. Something that was done through the cooperation and mainly the behest of the ACLJ, through you and the work that you did, Jay, and through basically the decision of the President of the United States not to cozy up to a dictator, Erdogan, but to kick him in the head. And that's it. And the results were the freedom of Pastor Brunson.
Folks, we are we're working hard right now for a lot of families across the country with the schools. You go to ACLJ.org, you can already see the victories we've gotten for students because they got attorneys. You know when they say if you've got a problem, get an attorney, that's how things get done. Our examples are already there. You can see it. You can read the blog at ACLJ.org, and that's just the beginning. Some will be after litigated. We've also got the petition because Nancy Pelosi is failing. The Democrats are failing the American worker, the American small business owners, and the American students. But she wants to get $25 billion to the U.S. Postal Service. Our petition says no money to the Postal Service until you handle the American small business, the problems, the American students, the American worker. We're doing all this work, folks, the government affairs level, the legal level, the foreign policy level, because you support us at the ACLJ.
You know, Andy mentioned the work that we did on behalf of Pastor Brunson. That's just a small example of the work that goes on here each and every day. Your support with 10 days to go in this matching challenge, ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate is effectively doubled. ACLJ.org. If you're...
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Right now, President Trump speaking at a group in Arlington, Virginia. He might have a teleprompter up there, but he's not using it the whole time. You could tell because he's being natural. He's moving around the room. You can do this, by the way, even if people aren't in the room, if you practice, so that it feels more natural and flowing.
He's got a teleprompter up there, but you can tell he's going off script.
So I want to kind of get this, and we'll take the calls from everybody, our panel today. Your kind of final thought on, I've already said mine, I thought it was a total disaster for the DNC, a flop, and what that means is they just don't get a bump. I don't think that they'll necessarily go down more in the polls. They already took a big hit post Kamala Harris. But I do think there is some opportunity maybe for the RNC. I want your thoughts on that too, guys. What should the RNC do? Because they got to see this flop. So maybe there's a way for them to get a little bit of a bounce. It's tougher for the incumbent to get a bounce.
Let's start with Than.
So let's go around.
Yeah, let's start with Than. Than, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the Republicans should focus on substance, Jordan. I mean, I think there's a long track record on all of these areas that we've talked about where the Democrats refuse to talk about them, where there is a track record that President Trump and Vice President Pence could talk about. I think they should be very substantive. I think they should acknowledge the trying times, but then be optimistic about how to pull them through. And here's the other thing, Jordan, I would answer both of those questions with two issues that the Democrats just ignored. The economy, which polling specifically says that President Trump does better on, and that is always the number one factor on exit polling. So I think it would be very smart to focus on that. And the other thing is safety for families, Jordan. It was not talked about during this convention. It's at the forefront of the minds of a lot of undecided voters. I would focus there if I were the Republican.
Right, I want to go to Wes, but before we go to Wes, I want to play this bite that Will just sent me. It's important. Number 49. And this, it's the platitudes again, and then I'll let Wes comment.
Our current president has failed in his most basic duty to the nation. He's failed to protect us. He's failed to protect America. And my fellow Americans, that is unforgivable. As president, I'll make you a promise. I'll protect America. I will defend us from every attack, seen and unseen, always, without exception, every time.
And exactly how are you doing this?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Let me finish this. I want to say something. I'm thinking he says that, and I'll go to Wes. I see him saying that. I listen to it again. And you look at what the situation was, you mentioned, Jordan, with ISIS during their administration. You look at what they did with Iran and then Benghazi, where we abandon our diplomats and our Marines. Abandon them. Right. This is their idea, Wes.
That was foreseen.
And he's going to protect us from attacks seen and unseen. He didn't protect us from attacks that were taking place on our own country. Wes?
On camera.
Yeah, it was his foreign policy and his military policy was an absolute disaster. It was a nightmare for civilians and people in uniform. He is leaving out those details very, very conveniently. I think there's a lot of faux manufactured outrage. He's criticizing leadership when he was not able to exercise leadership in those testing times for 8 years with him and President Obama. It's language that is pretty amazing. His speech was a good teleprompter speech. My question is, will he answer reporters' questions? And can he put together a clear sentence, rational thoughts, without a teleprompter and answering questions of people? Will he ever sit down with reporters and do a press conference and an interview?
And will he debate?
I mean, that's a great question.
I mean,
we'll see.
I think you have to at this point because this was so bad for them.
Yes,
that he has to debate, and Kamala Harris needs to get out there and debate too.
Is she going to call him a Vice President Ponce? That was Andy. I'm going to talk to you about. Let me get Andy's last comment here, and then we'll take these calls. Andy, I found that personally, the two things I found the most offensive, besides the lack of policy and all of that, was the. There are no miracles, and I'm praying for a miracle every day. If we had a vaccine, I think there'd be a miracle. I'd say it's a miracle. Okay, number one. Number two, and then, of course, the seen and unseen, and then we got the administration that was cozying up to Vladimir Putin. They said, after the election, I'll more flexibility, and what happens? The president then says, I will transmit this to Vladimir.
I mean, yeah.
Andy?
Smithist of Vladimir. In other words, I will tell him what you said so that we can work out the deal. Talk about interference in election. You had him on a live mic and you caught him. You caught him with his pants down, but he didn't want to talk about that. But back to what you said, what the Republicans need to do is to learn the lesson from this convention. Focus on the economy. Focus on the fact that the stock market has substantially recovered to its all-time high. Focus on employment. Focus on the disaster in the American cities that are democratically controlled right now, and say, you talk about protection. How about protecting me so I can walk down Peachtree Street in Atlanta without being afraid of being mugged? That's what I want you to talk about. Give me the specifics, Joe Biden. Guess what? He can't do it.
And then let's not forget the Boston Marathon bombing, where this administration, under Attorney General Barr, is seeking a death penalty for the defendants, the Sarnoff brothers, for that. And under the previous administration, I not only think that they not seek the death penalty, it was this whole process, remember, of how to indict them because were 18. And meanwhile, there's kids that were dead that were 8 and 9 years old. And look, I'm not a big proponent of the death penalty. You know that personally, because I've tried too many cases. Andy would disagree with me, and I get that. That's fine. But this idea that it's so duplicitous what they're doing. However, it's over now. Well, and there will be no bump. And now things will go on. Let's try to grab these last two calls, Jordan.
Yeah, let's go to Mary in California on line one. Mary, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to address what the Republicans need to do in addressing how the DNC handled this. And I think it's really important that that President Trump reminds people what he's accomplished. But I think it's more important for him to address what he's going to accomplish in the next 4 years.
Yes, I totally agree with you, Mary. I think it's you want to go through the good things that you've done to correct the wrongs. I think President Trump is right when he tweeted out to it while Obama was speaking that I got elected because of you got me elected. People put me in office because of you, President Obama, because of you, Joe Biden. They elected Donald Trump to be president. So you talk about how he's fixed things. And then you look to the future. Stop the litigating the past. That's what they did this week. The anybody but Trump never works. David, Kentucky,
really quick,
line three.
David, really quick.
Hey, thanks, guys. I consider it a miracle that 11 of my family members have recovered from COVID-19.
Yeah,
and Americans need to recognize that Joe Biden is suggesting something that is antithetical to the framers of our Constitution. So we have to decide what kind of country we're going to have.
No, I think you're exactly correct. I mean, this is going to be the monumental choice. Listen, Joe Biden's running on this. He's running under, I am nicer than Donald Trump. I am kinder than Donald Trump. I'm more compassionate than Donald Trump. And that's how they polled it. They have focus grouped it. And that's what they've decided to do. Okay. That's how they're going to run. Right now, what I'd like to do is know that my kids are in school, that they're safe, that my family is safe, that the country is protected, that our enemies fear us. Ask Soleimani. Oh, you can't ask Soleimani because he's dead. Ask Baghdadi. Can't ask him either because he's dead. That's what fighting for freedom is, not platitudes. Boots on the ground when necessary, and only when necessary. Support the work of the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. I'm talking to our radio and TV audience right now, especially. You're watching this broadcast, many of you, every day. Support the ACLJ. Go to ACLJ.org. That keeps this broadcast on the air. Your match, your gift will be matched. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.